Mr. Stewart, Reel 2. We're talking about your time at Royal Arthur. We sort of come to an end of that. You were there about 6 weeks, which is sort of through
six
into...
6 weeks, I'd say. Must have been about the beginning of March, yeah.
And well, at the end of it, were you assessed in any way before you left? I mean, or you know, because you'd put down for telegraphist. Now, you need educational abilities to do it. It's a skilled role. Were you tested at all before you left?
Well, I can't think of... Can't think of any tests. I remember the master and all telling you what you want to be, you know, but I can't mind of any tests, you know.
So what's next? Where did you go in March?
I went to Aberdeen. Aberdeen and...
Aberdeen? What was the unit called? Was it a short stage?
Yeah, well, actually in Aberdeen, the training place was the fishery research station had been taken over by the Navy. I just can't remember what they called it.
You don't remember the name? Well, we can look that up. And you went there in March 1948.
That's right.
Now, what was the setup of the training there? You were training as a telegraphist. How did they take
all the time, more or less. It was just like going back to school, you know. The whole day was spent... training as a telegraphist.
Now, how did they do it? What did you learn first? Was it the Morse code, or what was it you learned?
Morse code, yeah, that's right.
How did they teach you Morse code, or did you already know?
No, I didn't know it at all, really, you know. They just... must have started off just slowly, you know, with doing Morse, you know, very slowly, and then they built it up the speed and so on and so on.
Were you in a... How were the classrooms? How did they actually do it? Were you in a classroom with someone at the front buzzing?
And you had the keys and that. That's right, uh-huh. And it was civvy. A lot of the chaps were... the teachers, right, were civvies. Whether they'd been the Merchant Navy or something like that, I imagine, you know. They must just have started us off doing it slowly and then building up speed, you know, until you got higher speed.
Now, how did you take to it? Because some people don't take to Morse code, some people do. It's
supposed... Yeah, it took me a wee while to catch on to it, you know. I had to sometimes go back at night, you know. They did, you kept to there during the day to probably about 4:30, and then you went away home. Well, we're in civvy billets.
I'll come back to that, yeah. And I mean, did you have a sudden breakthrough? I mean, or did you just do it by just swatting at it, grinding away at it?
Just swatting at it, I think, yeah, yeah. Mm. I think it's one of these things, and after you've got it, it stays there forever, you know. It takes a wee while to catch on to it. And after you've got it, it's like somebody talking to you, you know.
How fast could you go? I mean...
Usually what they call a 22 words a minute. But a word was considered four letters. So you're 22 times four.
But that sounds pretty quick to me. I mean, that's normal, that's a good naval speed.
Yeah.
Did you start to develop your own fist? Because some of the naval telegraphists say they can identify people.
They say that, yeah.
Did you?
No, I wouldn't say so, no. Funny enough, most of it was receiving messages. You didn't send very many, you know.
Did it be? I mean, some people say that if you had a musical ear, it helped a lot with Morse.
Possibly.
But you don't really know.
No, I wouldn't say. Possibly, it's a possibility. I haven't heard of that one, but it's like, it could be.
Now, what else did you have to learn as a telegraphist? Or was it just Morse?
Well, mostly, I think it was mostly just that. I mean, in the morning we got a bit PT again, and we did some runs there, you know, when we were in Aberdeen. Not very healthy, really, because you had your uniform on and all that, and you had to run maybe a mile or two, you know, round about, so you were sweating with the uniform on, and then straight into your classroom in that condition, you know.
How did you manage? I mean, you weren't a runner, were you? Or you could cope with the running?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It's surprising, you know. I often think of that now.
Now, what were your billets like? You were in civilian billets, right?
Yes, we were in civilian billets.
What were they like?
I was very unlucky.
Very unlucky.
I was very lucky. Mrs. Yorston, that was a lady, Mrs. Yorston, and she had about six of us in her billet. Our own husband was at sea in the Navy. He'd been a fisherman, actually, and he was at sea when we were there, so I think she had a soft spot for sailors. So she looked after us very well, you know. In fact, going aside, it was a shame that the very last few months of the war, our own husband got killed, you know, it was unfortunate. And he got killed through, this is going apart from this, but apparently a gun bust. You know, they were testing a gun in harbour and a gun bust, and our own husband got killed. So
you got on well enough with her to keep in touch after you left? You got on well enough with her to keep in touch.
Oh, yes, we did.
You know,
oh, okay. In fact, I took Alistair to meet her one time. Was it yours? Uh-huh. And we went up another time, but by this time she'd gone off to Australia. Of course, I say she was a widow by that time. She had a son, a wee boy, but when we were there, he was about 4 or 5 years old. But by the time she went to Australia, he was maybe about 10 or 12 year old, you know, but that was the last I heard of her now, and lost touch with her after that.
And how long were you there? How long were you at Aberdeen? You got there early March.
How long? Place? Oh, how long? I think it was 4.5 months of training.
So to August.
That's right. That was right. Uh huh.
And anything else about the training? Was it really just working away at Morse code?
That was all.
Nothing else yet to learn.
No, I can't think of that. No, nothing else really. Just that. Mm-hmm.
No work on coding?
Well, we must have done coding, yes. Must have done coding, I keep thinking. Must have done coding. We must have done that because we could code and decode, yes.
Do you remember anything about it? That's fair enough. So what's the next thing you remember? Anything else about your time at Aberdeen, or was this...
No, it was just a good spot to stay in, I think. You know, I got fairly lucky to be in Aberdeen, you know. Plus the fact, for us, it was handy, well, for me, and it was handy to get home for the weekend, you know, to Edinburgh. It was quite good, you know. But Aberdeen's quite a nice city to stay in, you know, quite a good city to live in, you know.
So what happened next? In August, where did you go then?
Well, we finished another 6 weeks. That was your final training. I went down to Ayr. That was another Butlins camp. And that was HMS Scotia this time.
And that was for 6 weeks?
Yeah, and you went there for your final 6 weeks and got all your tests there and so on and so on and so on.
Now, what were you doing there that was so different? What training? What sort of training?
Just the same, but I think they put you up more speed and they taught you a wee bit about radio, you know, the actual workings of a radio and things like that, how trying to do a wee bit of repairs.
Do you remember much about that? Were you good at it? I mean, did you understand it or did you have trouble with it?
Well, a bit of a mystery, a lot of it, you know, a bit of a mystery. Thank goodness we had radio mechanics as well.
And anything else you were doing there?
No, again, it was mostly just training, a bit PT as usual. No, I think that was about it. Yeah, that'd be about.
So you'd leave there about September 43.
That's right.
And where then?
I can't remember if I went home for a leave or that first, but then we went down to Portsmouth.
To the barracks, Victory Barracks.
That was at Victory, that's right, I was in the barracks for a few days, but they put you out, so, you know, there were so many people there, the barracks all around the area, you know.
And anything happened at Portsmouth?
Like air raids or anything like that?
Anything at all that you remember?
No.
Or was it just...
No, just sailed along, I think.
And you were there, you got there in September, were you there long?
I wasn't there very long, no, it must have been maybe 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. And then, no, September, I'm trying to work out, because maybe sometime, maybe 2 or 3 weeks there, I maybe got another leave, I can't argue. And then we got a draft check to... Well, we didn't know what it was at the time. I just thought it was a DE, but we didn't know what a DEs were, you know. So that was going to again, we didn't know where we were going. We just put us in a draft. Loads of us got on trains, and they brought us away up to... No. Oh, Liverpool it was, I'm sure. Liverpool, yeah. Liverpool. And they put us on the Aquitania, ship Aquitania, a great big four-funneled liner. Aquitania, yeah.
What were conditions like on her? What was
it like? Well, again, we were, I remember, quite fortunate because we got put on the poop deck of the ship. That's, you know, the stern poop up. And these were, I don't know what it had been before the war, was when I went down in the bows of the ship, we were way up on the back, and it was a superstructure place there, with all bunks in there, you know, three or four storage bunks. Seemed to be all right. It seemed to be okay.
You know? Food okay?
Yes, no fault. But I think they only got food about twice a day because there was so many people on board that they could only cater for you twice a day.
Were you sailing in convoy or on your own?
No, on our own. On our own.
Do you remember anything? Were you seasick?
Mm. I was lucky again. It wasn't. Plenty of people were. I've just been fortunate. I wasn't seasick on that one. I was seasick when I went on the Manus.
We'll come back to that. Not anything happened on the voyage, or was it just a routine voyage?
No, it was okay. No problems.
And which port were you going to? New York?
That's right. And to New York. That's right.
And what happened when you got ashore?
Well, they took us on, I think, must have been the ferry across the river, and then onto the train. And we heard somebody remarking that we were German prisoners, you know. Very nice of them. And they put us on the train, and we went to Asbury Park. Down, that was south of New York a bit, Asbury Park.
That was HMS Saker. I think they
called that. That's right, that's right. Funny enough, I found a photo of it through there the other day when I was raking through, when I heard you were coming down, you know.
And how long, you were there not too long, but what were conditions like?
In Saker, seemed to be all right, I think. It was two big hotels, had been hotels, you know, and had been taken over. But again, I don't remember any adverse effects, you know, so it must have been all right, you know, it must have been quite good.
What about American hospitality? I mean, did they treat you?
Very good, very, very good, yeah. Not so much at Saker, because I don't think we were there that long, maybe a week or two, but I'm jumping forward, but when we got up to Boston...
Okay, well, let's go on, if nothing much happened,
when we got to Boston, they put us in our barracks again.
That would be Fargo Barracks, wouldn't
that's
it?
That's right. That's right.
And what were those barracks like? Because people tell us...
I mean, again, it was just great big... I think it's been a warehouse or something like that, full of bunks, you know, and it was accommodation. Food was great, of course. Food was very good. You could go ashore, I think, most nights if you want, you know, out and in. But... They kept us there for, I'd say 2 or 3 weeks.
So are we talking about around about October by now? October?
Must have been maybe October, maybe even in... we'll say October, maybe into November, in October, November, yeah.
And you mentioned... What were you actually doing while you were there?
Well, you settled down then after a day or two... They started taking you down to the ship, which was just still being completed, you know. So we used to go down to the ship during the day, and then they would run us back to the barracks at night, you know, and we'd stay in the barracks. So it was a case of just shuttling back and forward.
And what were your first impressions of the Manor? That's HMS Manners.
That was the Manners, that's right, yeah. Oh, it didn't look good.
It didn't?
Yeah, I think it looked all right.
Oh, it did look good. Sorry.
Yeah, it did look good. Oh, yes, it looked good, yeah.
In what way? What was good about it?
well, it had a bit of style about it, you know. So it had, I always say that was a nice looking ship, you know, a nice looking ship. And everything, of course, being brand new. Takes a bit of getting used to settle down to find a way around, not find a way around, it wasn't that big, but everything's strange at first, isn't it?
And what did you think of them working? Because they built them very quickly, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Were you aware of that? Or?
No, I don't see. I don't think we would be, no. Certainly later on realised, you know.
Now, what about the hospitality of the Americans?
Very good. Great.
Did you ever go to the Buddies Club, or what did you do, you know?
Ever go to?
The Buddies Club. You know, they organise visits, home things.
That's right, that's right. Oh, yes, yes, oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to, I mean, you would go to these clubs at night, what did they call it, USO, was it they called one? I think that was the United Service Order, USO or something. And the girl at the desk would maybe say, somebody's wanting six sailors along for the evening or something like that. If you wait here, and they must have arranged a time, and Mr. So-and-so will come and pick you up. And this is what they did, you know, take you along to the house and give you a nice evening, you know, and sometimes at a party and things like that. So, I know they were very, very good too, very good.
So you got on well with them?
Yes.
You like them?
Okay, no problem.
Now, some of the US sailors, the regulars, were a bit anti-British.
That's right, they
were. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
Was there any trouble in the town?
Well, once or twice they tried to pick a fight, you know. You just got to ignore them, you know. Once or twice they tried to pick a fight, you know, and even in the barracks, like, and where you were staying, you know, it'd be making offensive remarks and so on. So,
what time? This is the U.S. sailors. Mm-hmm. What sort of thing would they say to try and cause a fight?
Oh, goddamn limeys and all this, you know, trying to make out you didn't. Well, again, I can't remember. I suppose they would. Try to make out it was her fault that they were in the war, sort of stuff, you know, that sort of thing, you know.
Now, you ignored it.
Ignored it,
but
yeah.
But not all of them did, I believe. There were some fights, but
I
kept out.
I never actually saw any, you know. I never actually saw any, but I believe there were. I haven't read about them, you know, but I've never actually saw them.
How long were you standing by the Manners before she... Do you know when she was commissioned?
Well, maybe... Just a figure, we'll say 3 weeks or something like that.
And what do you remember of the commissioning ceremony? The commissioning ceremony. You were there, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
What do you remember of that?
Oh, I remember that well. Yeah. Well, in fact, I've got pictures through there. Let you see that. They lined us up on the jetty at first, and the captain, I think, went on board. And that would be when they broke the bottle. The ship was in the water, like, but they broke the bottle over the bows. And then, as far as I remember, we marched on board. We must have been on the quarter deck, I think. They lined us all around the quarter deck. And I always think, I think I'm right in saying that the captain had to stand there and swear that he would never lower the ensign and things like that in front of the enemy. he had to agree to that sort of stuff, you know, that a ceremony about that. That was it, I suppose. We stayed on board after that. We
and that would be in November 43, was it?
It was actually later than that. I think it was, I've got it somewhere there, December, I think, before we went on board, yeah. They say we're losing a week here and a week there, and they add up, don't they?
That's fine. Now, what about... So you were a telegraphist, obviously. What about your mess deck accommodation? Where was it? What was that? Can you describe it?
Our accommodation.
The mess deck, yeah.
Yeah, well, we were forward on the front end of the ship, on the starboard side. I can draw a picture of that place. There was three bunks were three high, and there was 1, 2, 3 of us. That's 9. Along the side, and in the centre of the ship there was just 2 rows because you had a passageway across. So that was 9 and 6, 15 in the mess deck. But that was all the communications. That was the telegraphers, the signalmen. I think the Aztec and the radar too, they were all in that vesta.
And what did you think of the bunks? Because, I mean, you hadn't been to sea, so, I mean, but it was all, I mean, normally it's hammocks in the Navy. What
That's
did
right.
you think of the bunks?
Yeah, I took to them quite a thing, yeah, I took to it all right. Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot, as you said, maybe thought a hammock was better, you know, but at least the bunk was up there ready for you, you know, you didn't have to untie your hammock and sling it up on hooks and so forth. But you did have two straps across your bunk to hold you in. When it was, if the sea was rough, you had a strap to put across the bunk. But otherwise, no, it was all right, I think. Mm-hmm.
Now, when they were built, they had the American facilities in, you know.
That's right.
What do you remember of that? Because some of them, they didn't stay long, so it's not something that's going to trouble us long. But they had water coolers.
Coffee makers.
Tell us what they had that you remember.
Yeah, well, I remember they did have water coolers up on in the next mess deck, further from us. I believe a coffee maker and... And the thing that I always felt so stupid was they had a laundry with a couple of washing machines, which were brand new for anybody now, in these days, you know, but they had washing machines, clothes washing machines, but that was the stern of the ship. Now, that would have been ideal for everybody in the ship to get their clothes washed and tidied up, but when they brought them back to Britain, all that was ripped out. So... all your washing had to be done in a bucket, which was so silly, and I think the water that was wasted as well. You know, everybody individually had to wash their clothes in a bucket and hang them up anywhere and try and dry them in the mess deck. And all that could have been done in the laundry, you know. All it needed was one or two seamen or somebody detailed off to look after the laundry, and I'm sure it would have worked great, you know. Instead of that, it was ripped out. So silly, huh?
So now, what about your telegraphist cabin, or you know where you did your work? That'd be somewhere near the bridge, I presume. Where were you?
Oh, in the wireless office, yeah.
It's the wireless office.
No, it doesn't matter. The wireless office was part of the bridge structure, actually.
And whereabouts was it within the bridge?
Within the bridge. Well, we were below. No, let's see. It was a main deck. We went up a ladder, and so with the one deck up above the main deck, and forward of us was the captain's cabin. That was forward of us, the captain's cabin, and that was all on that deck. Above us, forward, was the wheelhouse, and behind that, I think, was the radar cabin. And then above that was the open deck where the officers were, or the captain was, and the signalman, of course, and lookouts. And the forward part of that again, off the bridge, the main bridge off the bridge, was Aztec cabin.
Was there another wireless office further back?
Hmm?
Was there another wireless office?
That's right, there was a small one under one of the gun platforms, the Arlington gun, the small gun. There was a little wireless office there, an emergency wireless office there.
Would you ever go there?
Yes. Not using it much, not using it, but just, you know, to see if it was okay, like to sort of keep it up to scratch, sort of stuff.
Now, what equipment would you have in the bridge wireless officer? In these wireless officers, can you describe what exactly equipment you had in there? Best you can.
I had a lot of stuff in there. I couldn't. Receivers. I must have had at least two main receivers. We had an RT radio telephone, which was a new thing in these days, radio telephone. And there we had direction finding to pick the bearing up of other ships.
Who used that?
Yes, you know, just practice. I don't think we ever had to use it in for to find our bearings. But used that. Then they had two huge transmitters. They were very big compared to what you've got nowadays, a transmitter, but the transmitters must have been about taller than I am, about 6 feet high, you know. They were in the centre of the room. Of course, we had desks to work at, you know, to sit and take a message and so on. So that was where the receivers were. Usually, unless there was a panic on, I think there was just one sparker on at a time and a coder. You worked, you know, a pair, a sparker and a coder. Actually, there was about six of us on there, you know, quite a good... So we only got three watches, so it must have been one of them. Of course, one of them was a petty officer, he was available any time.
Now, how did the watch system work? Can you remember?
Well, starting at midnight to four, and four to eight, that was the morning watch. And then the forenoon watch would be eight till midday. Afternoon watch, midday till four. Then your first dog and the last dog.
They were 2 hour watches.
They were 2 hours, that's right. You got told off when you went and joined the Navy and said the first dog and the second dog. For the old seamen, there's no such thing as a second dog watch. Last dog, first dog and last dog. So you're there in the hard way, you know.
So, what would you do when you were on watch? What were your duties when you were on, you know, on duty?
When you were on watch? Yeah. Oh, well, just sat and take messages all the time, you know. Most of the messages were sent in a number, you know. It must have been a number, we'll call it, they would signal, or I can't remember, it was 1234, and they would send a message. And usually the message would be addressed to someone. So after you started taking the message, you could hand the first page to the coder. And the coder would say, oh, that's not, well, it wouldn't call me Russell and easy way, and that's no use to us or something. So you didn't need to take the rest of the message, you could leave it. And then after a minute or so, one, two, next message, so start reading that. And, well, if the coder didn't say, forget it, take the message. And then he might decode it, and he would decode it, and if it was concerning us at all, they would send it up to the bridge. So he just more or less sat there the 4 hours taking messages, you know. It was quite, well, occasionally he would take a message, but it would be what they call corrupt. It might be concern us, but either I made a mistake or there was maybe something atmospheric or something, and the coder couldn't decode it.
So what would happen then?
So what happened then was the shore base, when they had a dull moment, nothing happening, they used to repeat the messages in rotation again. So you would hear a message, well, we'll say 999 coming through, oh, well, no, the one I missed was 1002 or whatever it was, you know. So next time they had a spare moment, and eventually they get around to 1002, oh, that's the one I missed. So you would take it again. In fact, the chief petty officer, if he knew you'd missed that, or some of the others would come up and listen on another phone, and you'd both take the message so that there was no fault in it, and there was no, well, better chance of getting it, you know. And that was it. You spent most of your time just doing that all the time, you know.